Today we have the privilege of studying Divrei Hayamim Bet, Chapter 13, Perek Yud Gimel. Like the previous chapter, this is a restatement of an event that takes place in Melachim, but with a particular lesson being drawn from that event. More specifically, this is a lesson about the wars of Aviyah, the son of Rechavaam, against Yeravam. We saw in earlier chapters how the kingdom splits and Rechavaam becomes king of Yehuda while Yeravam remains king of Israel. We read in Melachim how Rechavaam and Yeravam, as well as their descendants, battle for supremacy. These are two small kingdoms located in the same stretch of land. Who will be the master? Who will be the stronger of the two kingdoms? That battle is fought between Rechavaam and Yeravam in the years immediately after the split. And this chapter presents those battles as part of presents the theological import behind those battles. Now, it's important to recognize that Sefer Divrei Hayamim sees Yehuda as the legitimate continuation of the kingdom of Shlomo. In other words, as we saw in the very first chapters, Baal Divrei Hayamim is acutely aware that in the period in which he lives, i.e. the period of the return to Eretz Israel after the Galut, the people of Yehuda, who we've returned, are a very, very small portion of the overall Jewish people. Jews have been exiled to Ashur, and Jews have been exiled to Bavel, and some remain in Bavel, and some are lost among the 10 tribes, and some remained in the northern part of Eretz Israel and are lost, and some went down to Egypt and are part of an Egyptian Jewish community that does their own thing in Egypt. And some remain in Yehuda. And there's a very small portion who are those who return from Bavel to Yehuda. The idea is that those who return from Bavel to Yehuda are in some ways a continuation of that whole large Jewish community that used to exist, even though they're numerically a small percentage. And so the idea is to show we are they, we are the continuation of those ancient Jews, of those Beit Rishon Jews. How do we do that? We show that Yehuda, in the time of Beit Rishon, is the legitimate continuation of the kingdom of Shlomo, and not Malchut Yisrael. And so that idea is illustrated in Perek Yud Gimel, but with a particular twist, a particular programmatic message. That message is the idea of the warning of the prophet and the idea of divine reward and punishment. It's because it's not simply that Yehuda happens to be genealogically the continuation, it's that Yehuda continues the temple-based activities of David and Shlomo, which seals the covenant that they have with God, and it's because they continue those activities, because they have the prophets and the temple servants, that they are merit, not bechesed, but bizchut, they merit to be the continuation of the kingdom of Yehuda. The kingdom of David and Shlomo. And we see this at the very beginning. So we're introduced to the kingdom of Aviyah, the son of Rechavaam, and we're now going to see that in the continuation of the chapter, the battle between Yeravam, king of Israel, and Aviyah, king of Yehuda. We'll start with Pasuk Gimel. Vayesor Aviyah et ha-milchama, b'chayel giborei milchama 400,000 ish, bachur, v'Yeravam arach imo milchama, b'800,000 ish, bachur, gibor chayel. So Aviyah began the war. Aviyah mustered his army. Excuse me. Vayesor is to muster an army. Aviyah mustered his army with a force numbering 400,000. Yeravam places battle against him with a force of 800,000. Clearly, Yeravam outnumbers Aviyah. Israel outnumbers Yehuda. Nevertheless, Yehuda will win. How does this happen? First, there is the warning. Before Israel can be defeated, it must be warned. Anyone who is punished in Divrei Hayamim must first be warned. And it's Aviyah, the king himself, who delivers the warning. And the warning is contained in Pasuk Hei. He stands on a mountain and delivers the following warning. Halo lachem ladat, ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael natan mamlacha leDavid al Yisrael leolam, lo ulvanav berit melach. Don't you know, it is for you to know, is it not, that God, the God of Israel, has given the kingship to David over Israel for eternity, to him and his sons a covenant of salt, i.e. an eternal covenant. Vayakom Yeravam ben Nevat Eved Shlomo ben David vayimrod al Adonav. Yeravam, the son of Nevat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rebelled against his master, who was legitimate continuation of David. So the kingship of David is central here, not the kingdom of Shlomo, but the kingship of David that's central. Yeroboam is a rebel against David effectively, because he's a rebel against Solomon, who continues David's line. And then we're told that, yes, it's true that Rehoboam acted sillily in Pasuk V'Zayin. Rehoboam acted in a way that was silly, but nevertheless, Rehoboam is really to be blamed. We're told as follows, Vayikavtzu alav anashim rekim b'nei Belial, vayitametzu al Rehoboam ben Shlomo. Together with Yeroboam gathered men who were wastrels, who were scoundrels, they overpowered Rehoboam, the son of Shlomo. Rehoboam was a young man who was weak of heart and didn't have the strength in front of them. So it's Rehoboam was weak, yes, but really Yeroboam is the one who provoked the conflict. Yeroboam is the rebel, and Yeroboam's actions are to be condemned. We're then told, now you are trying to be strong, be stronger before the kingship of God in the hands of the sons of David. In other words, effectively you are rebels against God, the kingdom of God. You are a mighty multitude, but what do you have with you? You have with you golden calves, which Yeroboam has made for you as gods. Why don't you have the effective, why don't you have the true tradition? Pasuk Tet, Halo hidachtem et kohanei Hashem et bnei Aaron halvi'im, va'ata'asu lachem kohanim ka'amei ha'aratzot, kol haba lemalei yado befar ben bakar ve'elim shiva, v'ya kohen lelo Elohim. You have pushed away the priests of God and the sons of, namely the sons of Aharon and the Levites. Instead, you have made yourselves Kohanim like the nations of the land. Anyone who wants can be appointed as a Kohen by bringing a cow and seven rams, and he becomes a Kohen without God. In contrast, Pasuk Yud, Vanachnu Hashem Elokeinu velo azavnuhu. In contrast, we, kivyachol, represent God, the Lord our God. We haven't abandoned him. Kohanim who serve, we have Kohanim who serve God, sons of Aaron, as well as Levi'im who do the service in the temple. And furthermore, there's mention that the temple service continues. So it's the fact that the temple service continues that legitimates the kingdom of Yehuda as the successor to David. David is the temple builder. David is the one who received a covenant from God. By continuing the temple building of David, we have the legitimacy and the right to be the continuation of the Davidic monarchy. Continuing in Pasuk Yudbet, V'hine imanu varosh ha'elokim v'chohanav v'chatzotzrot ha'turua l'haria alechem b'nei Yisrael al tilachamu im Hashem elokei avotechem ki lo tatzlichu. We have with us in the head of our, in the van of our army, God. It's a very strange statement, but we have kivyachol God in front of our army. V'chohana v'chatzotzot ha'trua l'haria aleichem. We have the priests carrying the trumpets to trumpet upon you. Sons of Israel, Bnei Yisrael, al tilachamu im Hashem Elokei Avotechem, ki lo tatzlichu. Don't fight against the God of your fathers, because you will not succeed. The language is well chosen here. We represent the continuation. We have kivyachol God with us. The chatzotzrot, the trumpets, are a physical representation of that. The trumpets are enjoined upon Israel in Bamidbar Perak Yud. When war comes upon you, you shall blow the trumpets and v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, you shall call yourselves to mention before God. We have the trumpets. We represent the continuation of the Judaism of Torah. We represent the continuation of the Judaism of David. You will not succeed. Pasuk Yudaled, the war becomes strong. The war is joined. Yehuda appears to be losing. Vayifnu Yehuda v'neilahem hamilchama panim v'achor. Yehuda turns around and sees that the war is turning against them both in front and in back. They're being fought against from the front and by an ambush party from the back. Vayitzaku Lashem v'akohanim mechatzitzrim b'chatzotzuot. They call out to God and the Kohanim blow the trumpets. Vasuk tedva v'yari 15 v'yariu ish Yehuda v'hi b'haria ish Yehuda v'ha'elokim nagafet Yerovam v'chol Yisrael lifnei avi avi Yehuda. The people of Yehuda cry out, and when they cry out in the trumpets, when the people of Yehuda cry out, in other words, calling out to God vocally, and when they call out to God, God smites Yerovam and all of Israel before Aviyah and Yehuda, and the people of Yehuda win. As a result of which, pasuk yudchet. Vaykanu v'nei Yisrael ba'etahi vayeemtzu b'nei Yehuda ki nishanu al Hashem elokei avotehem. The people of Israel, the sons of Israel at that time, become submitted. They are defeated. They submit to Yehuda, and in contrast, b'nei Yehuda become strong. Ki nishanu al Hashem elokei avotam, because they relied upon God, the God of their ancestors. We're then told in Pasuk Yutet how Yehuda takes the border cities, the cities around Beit El, and annexes them to Yehuda. And Yehuda becomes the dominant party, and that's indicated by the annexation of the border cities. Then we conclude the kingdom of Aviyah. Pasuk Kaf Bet, V'yeta divrei Aviyah, Udrachav, Udvarav, K'tuvim b'midrash hanavi Ido. The rest of the affairs of Aviyah, as well as his ways and his words, are written in the midrash of the prophet Ido. Again, this conclusion, the statement that words of the historical records are contained in the words of the prophets. And then Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Vayishkav Aviyah im Avotav, Vaikberu oto bi'ir David, vaimloch asavin otachtav bi'amav, shakta ha'aretz eser shanim. Aviyah rested with his fathers. He was buried in the city of David. Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet for 10 years. The battle for supremacy has been concluded. Yehuda is supreme, at least for the next 10 years.